What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny podcast. I'm your host, Nick Scarpino, alongside the movie bros herself, Joey Noel.
Hello.
Blazing Blessing Jr. Adioye.
Hello.
Why did you mix up Adioye and Jr.?
Because I like Blazing Blessing Jr., but then I was like, I kind of want to say his last name too.
Okay.
It's a cool last name.
Okay.
That's fair. You know what, Andy? I was going to do your full one, but now it's this and Andy. That's all you get. You're not getting anything for that.
Him treatment.
If you criticize the host, Andy, you don't get, you know what I have to do? It's so cool. The Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe trotting, headshotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Whoa. You saw it, man. We were popping off in Warzone the other day, Nick. Come on, baby.
You guys.
This is during the GameSpot thing?
Yeah.
You certainly were, but all of you. So, Blessing, in a perfect Nick world, I was like, cool, I'll just pop on. We're going to play some Warzone. But, you know, so every once in a while, this will happen to me where I'm like, I'm not paying attention. And someone says, download an update real quick. And I'm like, cool. And then, like, today I downloaded an update for a game and it took all of 10 minutes and then installed. And I was like, cool, ready to go. I get there. I got 20 minutes to spare. And Greg's like, and someone was like, did you download season 4? I was like, oh no, I have to do that. It took an hour and a half to download.
Because those Call of Duty downloads are always gigantic. Somewhere between 50 and 500 gigabytes.
Oh, every time.
They are always gigantic. But you know that fear that sets in, and this is the same, it's that feeling, Bless, where you walk into class and they ask you if you did the essay and you didn't. Nick had the same look on his face where he sits down and he's looking at his PC. We haven't gotten live yet, but he's looking at his screen. He goes, do I need to download season 4? And I fucking knew. I was like, this is bad. And then Lucy was like, yeah, you probably have to do that. He's like, oh, okay. It shouldn't be too long. And I knew, like, no, dude, this is going to be an hour plus process. And sure enough, he was ready to play. Oh, no. We started at noon. He was ready to play at like 1:15 or something like that.
I played two games with them. That was it. Two games.
But you stuck it out and you just like hung out. Or
Johnny
sorry,
Ace?
You didn't hang out. Johnny came in for a little bit.
Johnny came through.
Yeah. They stopped by. Blessing. He says hello, and he says that you guys are. He was super happy. You guys got to do that one thing that one time. That was cool.
Yeah, I know. I haven't gotten to like spoke to him. I haven't gotten to speak to him on content yet. We've only had behind the scenes interactions, which, you know, have been awesome. But I actually want to speak to him on content sometime.
Oh, I mean, we can make that happen next time he's in town. Of course, we'll have to actually all be in the same room at some point. Yeah. But I guess we could do it. Sure, I guess we could do it.
Now keep this in mind, Bless. When he showed up, he said, "Hey, I just got home from my flight from the boat. I just boarded from my flight. On a boat is what he's."
Where his I said I flew over on. He said I flew over on a boat. I think
that's
is what
right.
He said.
I'm starting to not trust him, to be honest with you.
I don't think it's a trust issue. I think with the Ace Man, he just exists, and you exist near him, and it is what it's going to be. Speaking of people who are what they're going to be, and to us, they're amazing. I want to give a quick shout out to our Patreon producers, Mo Squared or Mo to the Fourth, as we're calling him now.
No, it's Mo Squared or Momo.
Momo Squared.
Momo Squared. That's four Momos.
That's so many Momos. But you know what? I don't think Momo's going to care about it. Cameron, vote for Reagan. Have a beer with Kieran and O'Donnell. Steve Rogers, Austin Powers. Yeah, baby. Julian.
Steve Austin Rogers Powers.
Dana Delaney Twining. Lee El Pollo Loco Polero. Dr. Farmer Mike. And Kono the Barbarian. Of course, these are none of their names, and they have not asked us to have put these nicknames on top of theirs. This is just what we do when we're growing a little crazy in quarantine, as all of us are, and as I am today. We'll talk about that in a sec. Before that, of course, we want to let you know this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Hims, but we'll talk about them just a little bit later. Man, I don't know how you guys feel, but lately I've been like, I'm okay. I'm hanging in there. I feel good. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to get good breakfast. And then one little thing will happen. And I'll go, I hate this fucking world. I hate everything that's happening. That everything should, I want it to stop. And I just start yelling into my face mask as I'm walking like an old man down the street, like, get off my lawn.
I had to make a return at Best Buy yesterday, Nick.
Oh God.
Because I had to return the Yeti mic that didn't work out great for me.
And so you had to go, you actually went to Best Buy.
I went to Best Buy, Jay. And they
you
are
left fully, your house.
They are fully operational.
You walked in?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you walk in. That's so cool. When you get there, you walk up to the front. And they have an off-duty police officer out there. He's like, you making a return? Like, yeah. And it felt like I was walking into like a quarantine zone in like The Last of Us or something that. Like they may as well have had like tall towers with like people with snipers like looking down. And I walked in and they essentially take your order and they kind of radio in like, we got a return over here in the front. And they type in like these little, they have a little computer outside. There's people working outside, granted, which has got to suck. Because on the warmer days, that's got to be a nightmare. It kind of reminds me of, you know, when you go to like a Chick-fil-A, which by the way, still homophobic, I think. But when you go to Chick-fil-A and they have people working the drive-through lines on the outside. You ever seen that?
Oh, yeah. Well, In-N-Out
does it too.
You go to In-N-Out.
In-N-Out does it too?
Yeah, the lines are so far wrapped around. They'll come to your car and be like, what would you like to order?
Is it only the super religious places?
No, I think it's the super busy places.
I think it's the busy ones. Is
In-N-Out super religious?
Yeah, they have like Bible verses and shit on their stuff.
Yeah, they have Bible verses on the cups. And yeah. Yeah. If you look underneath it, it says you're going to hell, but the burger is worth it.
That's wild. I would never have known. It says how like it's supposed to be like a ark or not ark. What's the story in the Bible with the dude with the big boat who had two of each animals?
Ark.
I always confuse Moses with Noah. Moses was one that part of the Red Sea. Noah was on top of the Red Sea, like, yo, I'm trying to get from point A to point B.
You're thinking Ark survival involved. Wow.
Why does Ark sound wrong to me? That's what I was thinking. I was like, no, it can't be Ark survival involved. It is Ark survival involved.
No, on the cups, it has it written like, you're going to die of high cholesterol and also go to hell afterwards because God hates you or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, but at the Best Buy, they have the computers, or they have these people working outside, and they're working the they have like little computers and tablets set up outside, and then they kind of go, all right, you're good to go in. To where I'm like, I don't know what's about to happen inside of here. Like, I'm kind of nervous with, and I don't know what I'm gonna see. What's this scene gonna be? And it's just Best Buy. It's just people walking around with masks.
Into like a fun house with all these mirrors or something.
I don't know, Joe. I was worried that it was going to be like a madhouse and there was going to be like, you know, some clickers over here and stuff. Like, I don't know what I was expecting, but
maybe you should just play less of The Last of Us.
Oh my God. What an awful fucking game. Terrible fucking game,
dude.
Really, really, really good. Real scary though.
It's amazing. But playing The Last of Us right now, with what's happening outside, is the worst possible thing for my psyche. I was trying to explain this to someone over the weekend. I was like, because in San Francisco, like if you go outside of San Francisco, things don't look like they do. But I had a friend of mine came in. She hasn't been in the city in like 6 months. And she came in and was like, oh my God, this place looks like a demilitarized zone. Because imagine, like, we've all been living in it. But imagine if you haven't been back for like a few months, like you left right, maybe it might not have been 6 months, might have been like 3 months. She like left basically right before, like as everything was starting to shut down and people were starting to put signs up. And then you come back and there's boards up with graffiti all over it and everyone's wearing a mask and no one knows who anyone is. She was like, it is an intense shock. And I was like, you think that's a shock? Try when your flashlight goes out a little bit and you hear the clickers and then someone screams and they come at you. And she's like, what are you talking about? I was like, what are you talking about? Because the reality and this game are really, really close together. And I thought maybe she was playing The Last of Us.
But so man, anyway, the dude at Best Buy sneezed inside of his mask and everybody turned around and looked at him because he was just like, achoo! And he was like, got the mask on right now.
That's like, that's kind of my fear is that if I get a cold, how much does that fuck me? Right? Like, do I have to go to the hospital then? Like, I feel like ever since this pandemic started, I've not looked around and seen people that have had colds and like regular diseases. Everything is coronavirus, it seems like.
That's a good thing, though, because if people. Yeah,
that's
true.
That's a very good point.
If you're going out, like, you're not supposed to go out if you don't feel well. And that's like, it is true, though. I do feel bad for anyone who has. Like, imagine how scared you'd be if you just got a normal cold.
Like, if my throat started scratching,
yeah,
I feel like I'd get paranoid.
But it's just like a straight up like, oh, you haven't slept a lot because you've been playing and like you were a little cold last night. So you wake up with it. You know how you wake up sometimes with a little sore throat from the drip because you forgot to shut the window or whatever.
The fan is on.
Freaking out.
Yeah. I know. So recently I've been really, really scared that I'm due to get sick any day now. I am just it's been long enough. The last time I had a sinus infection where it caused fever and then eventually led to strep throat and shit like that. Ugh. It's been a long time. Like I normally get it at least, I don't know, once every 10 months, it feels like. But it's been a long time since the last time I got sick. And what's interesting is, yes, I'm a lot safer and I'm not going out and interacting with people in terms of like being at a store and shit like that. And I'm always washing my hands a lot and I'm using a lot of like Purell and shit. And it's just, the thought hit me is like, wow, I haven't gotten sick because I've just been really careful.
That's my thought process too. Like, I feel like I've gone the longest I've gone in my life without getting sick. And I am like, dude, do I just need to wash my hands more just in general?
And not shake hands?
Is that the key? Yeah.
Well, shaking hands is gone. I'm sorry, everyone. If you think you're going to walk up to me at a Starbucks and shake my hand, hey, you look like a nice person, let's talk and shake my hand, you get out of here. You get out of here with that. We're elbowing or nothing, or GTF out.
You want to replace it with elbowing?
I think we just replace it with like a hello. Like you wave at someone and that's the symbol of keep your distance from me.
We have to come up with something cooler. We have to like
something in the middle.
Hugging's gone. No more hugging.
I kind of want to bow or like do the fusion dance. Like
bowing could be dope.
Yeah, bowing would be cool, but I guess the fusion dance, you're touching fingers with the other person that you're.
But you could you could do the painting thing where they're like not touching. But
oh like yeah, what's that painting, Joe?
It's on a ceiling.
Oh,
you're talking
like this painting.
Yeah,
when God,
yeah.
God and man.
But you couldn't see it. Is it?
I think it's the Sistine Chapel.
There we go.
Yeah.
Another painting.
I mean, I'm down for you, Andy. We have to just Google how close. Do you ever think about this? This is how weird I am. Do you ever think about like how close can I get to something before the virus can jump from that thing to my finger?
You think about that, right?
Because you're like, I know that that's not how the virus is spread. I know that predominantly now we know that it's spread from like mouth and like air being pushed around and like water particulates and stuff. But I do think to myself, like, if the virus is on that table, can I hover my hand over the table and will it jump up to my hand? And then I put my hand in my eye, goes to my eye, right into my throat, I die.
I don't think that's how germs work, though.
I would like to think that there are some viruses in that COVID on the table that are like looking at your hand like, check it out. Hey, Jesse, get over here. And like they called, like he's the really athletic COVID germ. And he's the one that's like.
He's like stretching.
He's
a 7-foot vertical or something.
Yeah.
He's the equivalent of like a jumping spider. Those things are terrifying too. That in my brain, they're like little tiny jumping spiders that jump from your table to your face or to your hand. And I don't like that at all. I saw a guy this weekend. I was walking. And you know how they put all the parklets out? All over the place. Parklets. They call them parklets, where basically they take over parking spots, like mirrored spots, and they're building out areas for tables to go. Imagine if you're sitting, if there's a restaurant, what's that?
They have them in like Hayes.
Yeah, like any. They have all of them.
I'm gonna Google parklet real quick.
Yeah, I'm gonna Google that too because I've not heard
so
this word
cute.
Before.
Yeah, they're basically like the city's allowing.
The Mission that has a big one.
Yeah, they're basically just imagine if you were to take over two metered spots and build out a little tiny like patio area with a little, you know, not gated off, but like, I don't know, a little wall. It's a little walled off, just a little implied barrier. But anyway, I saw a guy and his wife, older couple, walking around and clearly like, I don't know what they were talking about, but it was definitely one of those things like masks don't work and all of this shit's bullshit. Maybe that was just in my brain because I didn't hear what they were
saying. Definitely
but the
brain,
guy was walking and he was touching every table.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I'm like, man. Oh. And in my brain, I'm like, whatever. Like if I sit at one of these tables, obviously I'm just going to ask them to like clean off the table. But then my thought goes to that poor guy. Well, I shouldn't say poor guy. The dumbass from the NBA that was like, I'm touching everyone's mic. And then got blamed for basically shutting down basketball.
Rudy Gobert, dude. But the thing is, Rudy Gobert, like almost a hero. Had he not gotten sick, like the klaxons would not have been sounded. You know what I mean? They would have kept playing games.
That's a good point. Like, he was the one that kind of shed light on everything.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
Because, like, and from him, it was the NBA, and then pretty much everybody took notice that day, and everybody was like, oh, we're shutting down.
And then the scariest thing about that is a story he recently spoke to some French website. His name is Rudy Gobert. He's French, and he talked about how he still can't his sense of taste is still not fully there.
That's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, it's affecting a lot more than just it's a lot more than a cold. These images of people's lungs that have been like, this is how a COVID lung looks. Are those real? Because it's scary.
I mean, I know that people have had severe respiratory like attacks and have had go on. Obviously, ventilators are a huge deal, and as are like hospital beds that people have to be able to use the ventilators on top of. But yeah, I mean, some people have seriously bad reactions to these. Of course, a lot of people have passed away because of it, but a lot of people, it takes like weeks and weeks to get over it. And then they're just like kind of 50 or 40% of where they're all. But this is the most confusing thing is then there's some people that have it. No idea they had it, or they had mild symptoms like you guys are talking about that I would have written off as like, oh, I'm just a little worn down right now. Yeah. And I just need to sleep more. So that's why this shit is terrifying, man.
When I Ubered over there to the Best Buy, granted, yes, I Ubered. I didn't drive. Why? I'm scared of driving. Just didn't feel comfortable.
Wait, Uber's still like going?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Uber's, you can get Uber. But wait, let's dial this back. Hold on.
You're less scared of being in a car with somebody random that's also shuttling around random people.
So that guy probably had, that guy could have potentially had 20 people in that car before you got into it. And they were touching everything that you touched and they were licking the seats, just like we're all going to have to lick the seats to the theaters when we go back to movie theaters. That's a joke from In Review today. So if you haven't watched that, you're not going to understand it. So you thought that's better than getting in your own car that only pretty much you, Andy, no, have ever ridden in, with the exception of one time I rode in your
Andy,
car.
I swear to God, if you brought this thing into our house, I'm kicking you
scared,
out.
Scared for different reasons. I'm okay. Scared because it's like, I don't want to drive. Like, I don't want to have to worry about parking.
Did you go to?
I'm more scared of parking and driving than I am of COVID.
Honestly, I get it, though.
Wait, what? Did you not go to the one in Colma with the parking lot?
No, I guess the one that I drove to does have a parking lot. The one here, the one, Harris Street, Harris something. I don't know.
Yeah, the big one in the middle of the city. The one.
Yeah. I Ubered over there, but both of them, these dudes had up kind of clear, not glass, but
like plexiglass.
Yeah, plexiglass, just kind of awkwardly crafted, separating the driver from the.
Trying to be like a taxi barrier thing.
Yeah, kind of like a taxi barrier. But it was really funny the way they did it because it's their own cars. Their cars don't have that built in. I'm losing focus.
Yeah.
Their cars don't have that built in. So it was just weirdly roped around and they had like shitty holes kind of drilled into it. It was done really poorly, but it was kind of still impressive. I was like, good for you guys. Good on you.
I went to a place, a taqueria near me, and they finally put up one of those things at near their register. For the longest time, the register was just like people were there, they were wearing masks. I was like, this is unsafe or whatever. Not only that, but like they had a window open and they were giving people their food so you didn't have to walk in, but that was only for Postmates and DoorDash and like Grubhub. Everyone else had to walk in. I was like, what? But you have this window. Why not just give? Anyway, I digress. I go up there finally and they finally put a plexiglass up, but they cut a hole in it and they put a screen like you would see. I don't know if you guys are Catholic or not, but if you ever had to go to confessional in like a confessional booth, there was always, it was like a wall, but then there's like a screen where you could like just barely see someone's mouth so that the priest could judge you and you could see a part of him judging you while that was happening. And I was like, I don't think that cutting a screen door in this plexiglass was what the original creator had intended to keep everyone safe. But I will take my burrito
especially
bowl right now
at
and go
mouth
eat it.
Level.
Yeah, yeah. And I asked her, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Why'd you guys do that? She goes, oh, we couldn't hear anyone. And I was like, what? I can't hear you over the loud music that you're playing in this taqueria right now that you could probably not play because no one's allowed to eat in here anyway. So
Nick, but COVID, much like the bees in Star Trek Beyond, they don't like music. They don't like loud music.
I guess not. I guess it scared us off. I have a question for you, Andy, about this Best Buy. And this, I need the answer to this right now.
Okay.
When you walked into the Best Buy, did they still have that section right as you turn right, as you go kind of toward the TVs, where it's all of the TVs that they've that people have taken back that they've just sort of like taped the top of, and they're like they have the signs that say half off.
Yeah, like shitty open box.
Yeah,
one. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay,
oh,
good. Well then,
that's at every Best Buy.
Well then, the world's not hell in a handbasket yet. Blessing.
Everything was okay. Running. People everything are still was buying and returning
TVs. Yeah. Every time I walk in, I'm like, one of these days, I'm gonna buy the cheapest one of these TVs. I'm talking like if I can get one for like $100 or $200. And it's like a 75 inch. And Tim's not on this podcast. So don't tell him I said this. And everyone out there, be cool. Don't ruin this joke. We're all going to pass it off like it's the coolest TV ever just to piss Tim off.
I'm down.
He'll get so mad.
Because that one time I bought a TV without asking him, he made me take the TV back. He was like, that TV sucks. Put it back in the box, take it back. And I was like, dude, I had to like rent a truck to get this TV home. He was like, it's worth it. Just take it back.
Oh my God.
Tim was right though?
Yeah, because, well, Alfredo worked at the Best Buy at the time. So he got me like their employee discount. So I got like a dope ass top of the line Panasonic plasma. For like, I think I got like $500 off of it or something like that. Oh, it was 100% worth it. But then I had this like, I got the panel and it had like a weird white spot in the middle of it. And then I had to have this whole back and forth with Panasonic that took 2 months. I had to come actually replace the screen. So I have pictures of a guy in my living room. Have you ever seen a TV being taken apart? Because I have. Literally put it down on a rug.
It sounds like, have you ever seen a dead body or something?
Dude, I had this whole thing like, he took this whole thing apart, took the screen out of it and put a new like piece of the screen in it. And I was like, this is fucking crazy. And then it's worked ever since. But of course, it's not like 4K, so now I have to get a new one.
Tim will shame you, man.
That's how I got my TV, because Tim shamed me, because I was like, Tim, what if I get this TV or this TV? And he was like, honestly, neither of those are worth getting. And I was like, Damn. Well, shit. And then I spent another $250. I got the TV he wanted.
I swear Tim's got stock in LG or some bullshit, dude.
That's totally something he does. Like, he's got a code where every time he tells someone to buy a TV, it gives him like $50.
Yeah. You know?
It's like
exactly. I remember the Alaska credit card where everybody like had it. And I was like, oh, I'm thinking of getting this one, but I might get this. He was like, no, dude, get this one. But use like my promo code or like I can refer a friend. And I was like, well, I don't really know if I want that card. He was like, dude, trust me, it's worth it. And yeah. I was like, Tim, you have a pyramid scheme right here.
You know, to be fair, though, the thing about Tim is that, yeah, it is a pyramid scheme. But it, unlike a pyramid scheme that really kind of screws everyone below him, it actually benefits you. Like, you actually, like when he told me to take that TV back, I mean, I'm being facetious, of course. He didn't make any money off of me buying a TV. But like, Alfredo hooked me up. And this TV was dope. And I was like, and it's one of those situations where I'm like, you just need to go with your gut. Because my gut said, get the bigger one. But my wife said, get the smaller one. And so I got the 55-inch instead of the 65-inch, which I couldn't really afford the 65-inch. But I was like, I'll grow into it, right? But I'm like, no, I have to – it's both of our houses. I have to make my wife comfortable as well. This is her living room as well. And this is going to be a TV she gets to enjoy. And we got it home, and I put it there. And she goes, see, this is plenty big. And then the next day she goes – we could have gone bigger. We could have gone a little bit bigger with this. And I was like, no, I knew it. I knew we could have gone bigger.
You're lucky, though, because my dad has the opposite problem with my mom, where my mom is just always like, we don't need that. Why do we – what is that? Why? Like, I can't see the difference. Like, mom, you could see the difference between fucking 1080p and 480p on a flat – like, come on, mom. Joey, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Andy from Kindify.
Andy.
Thank you. Uh-huh. So you got a new TV recently because you tweeted out about it.
I did.
What happened to the TV from work?
It was a great TV. When Kevin dropped off at my house, I turned it on. Big crack on the side of it. And
oh shit.
Yeah.
That's awful. Wow.
That was not a cheap TV. So Kevin is the blame for this. This is what I'm hearing.
I didn't even carry it.
Oh, I know you didn't carry it. I'm just saying, I'm sure Kevin probably just threw it in his car and it cracked. I mean, that's the problem with these with carrying TVs back and forth. Yeah. If they're in the box, they're delicate as is, but I mean, whatever.
Blessing, you have to understand. You have to understand. Like,
also, that TV was probably way too big.
This is all fascinating to hear because I'm kind of in the market for a new TV. I have a 1080p TV I'm rocking right now. Oh, and I'm wanting to go to 4K. And here's the thing. When I moved here, I didn't expect to live in this place for forever, but then pandemic hit, and so I'm just here now. So I've been waiting to actually get to a new place before I commit to like figuring out an actual TV situation. But I'm at the point where I'm like, all right, you know what, man? I don't know how long I'm going to be here. It's kind of indefinite. I might just like go all the way. And
I think you should go all the way.
TV.
I mean, dude, so, you've got all that space behind you. You can put a dresser and you can put a freaking 80-inch back there if you needed to. I don't even know if TVs come that big, but you could totally do that back there.
Bless, don't let Tim pressure you, is all I'm going to say.
But I feel like based on the other side of things, sounds like it's going to happen. It sounds like no matter what I do, it sounds like as soon as Tim catches wind that I'm getting a new TV, it's his TV now.
What did you get?
Tim is like,
I got the LG B9 55-inch 4K TV.
You got the OLED?
Yeah.
God, he's such a fucker. Tim will just pressure everybody into getting the TV he wants.
Here's the thing.
Hey, guys.
Let me say this. Okay. I will say that I got it as an open box return from Best Buy, so I spent like $750 on it.
That's
so
really good.
Here's the secret, guys.
That's a deal.
Just don't listen to Tim. Just get what you want.
But like,
I got a TCL Roku TV, and I'm fucking happy as I can be, man.
Yeah, that's the thing is like you don't know what you're missing. So it doesn't matter. As long as the TV looks semi-decent, it's not like you're A/B testing them. But Tim he knows me first off. Barrett, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry to disagree with you, but I have to listen to Tim because he plays, he knows how to get in here, and he knows that my Achilles heel is for him to be like, well, it could be better.
Nick. This is Tim trying to hire me at Kind of Funny. This is the think about it. Just think about it.
Oh yeah.
Don't make a decision yet. Think about it.
Yeah.
Hard sell. Out there.
So I used the website that Tim frequents for TVs, blessing. Ratings.com. It's ratings without the letter A. So it looks like Ratings.
Ratings. Okay.
But it's pronounced ratings. Because there's always like a dude introducing the video. He's like, hello, I'm so-and-so from ratings.com. And today we're talking about, if you watch it, that impersonation is spot on, everybody. No. He's like a
Anton Yelchin. I was like, that's
it's kind of like, he's like, today we're talking about the LG B9 OLED TV. I went to ratings.com and I bought a Vizio P series. And what they do a great job of is telling you this TV is better than all these TVs in these certain price brackets.
Right.
And so my TV ended up costing $800 or $750 or around there. But it was like, the quality you're getting here is as good as the $1,100 or $1,200 Samsung. It's as good as the $1,200 Sony. That's what I ended up getting. But then Tim, of course, kept trying to get in my ear and be like, dude, just get the OLED, dude. Trust me. Just think about it. Think about it, Andy. Just think about it. Just think about it.
Dude, I'm on ratings.com and this seems like some dark web type shit. Like,
what do you mean?
This doesn't look like a website from like the last 10 years. It looks like a website that was founded in like the year 2000 and never updated because they know it's low-key.
What are you talking about?
Tim's recommendation and you don't have to look at that website at all.
No, see, that's part of his game, blessing, because he says, oh, dude, just go to ratings. And you go there and you're like, these people are going to steal my credit card information.
No, they're not.
You don't even buy anything through that site.
You're not buying from them.
But there's part of me that's like, if I go here, I'm going to get a virus and they're going to know.
Certainly, it's like some referral type stuff where they make some money based on the click-throughs.
No, dude. Sure they do. No. What's incredible about ratings is that they buy all of their TVs. They aren't sent shit. And they will post, we just bought this TV. We're going to rate it or whatever. And that's what I think they're awesome. I love them.
Wait, okay. Can we go? What is the most expensive TV?
They also have headphones, which I'm excited about.
What's up,
Nick? The most expensive TV?
What's the most expensive TV on rating.com?
I mean, what happens with the TVs is like once they hit 70-inch, 80-inch range, that's when they skyrocket, like, you know, quadruple the price.
So what are we talking, like $2,000-$4,000? Are we in like the 10K?
Like $6,000-$7,000, yeah.
Jesus.
So the really, really high-end LG OLEDs right now, the highest one you can get is probably around $2,500, maybe $2,000. But then that's like a 65-inch. As soon as it turns into an 85-inch, that $2,500 becomes $8,000 or $7,000. I could probably be way off, but that's what I've normally noticed.
because I've been thinking about getting a new TV. Not I don't want to buy one. I don't want to deal with any of this shit right now. But I've been thinking about it because I want to upgrade to a 4K TV when the PlayStation 5 comes out. I know we have plenty of time for that.
Yeah,
but
that's why I bought mine.
Yeah, I don't like right now. I've been playing Last of Us 2, and it's 1080. And again, I don't know what I'm missing. I don't even, I'm assuming Last of Us plays in 4K, right?
It plays in 1440p and then gets upscaled to 4K. So it definitely looks crisper.
But it's not actual like 4K. It's actually just like doing an up-res. It doesn't matter. All I know is like the game is stunning right now. I'm happy with it. It looks great on my 1080p plasma or my HD plasma. But when that 5 comes, I want to just – I'm putting it off to the point where I want to get it all set up and then have the TV delivered and then boom. Somebody just gives me a PlayStation 5 and I tell my wife that it's a piece of art and she goes, whatever, just keep it in your office. And I'll run a real long cord all the way over to my living room and we'll just, I want to see what that 4K gaming looks like. I want to turn on, the HDR mode and have that actually work for once. Yeah.
I can't wait for you. I'm so excited for y'all. Like I'm getting to the point where my dad bought a 4K TV around 5 years ago. So it's definitely really old and it's losing its quality. It's a Samsung. It was really nice at the time, but now at this point, it's got this weird sort of coloration shit that's happening around the borders of it.
Yeah.
And when certain colors are on the screen, it's really noticeable. When certain, when other colors are on, it's not really noticeable. But it's getting to the point where, okay, this is getting a little long in the tooth. It's time to upgrade my dad. So I really want to hopefully get together with my brother and say, hey, let's go in and let's pitch in and say, hey, we're not going to buy you this full TV, but if you're down to like pay for half of it, me and my brother are down to pay for the other half or whatever.
I love how that's the low key, the gift that keeps on giving. Cause then when you go to visit them, you get to watch cool TV.
No, yeah. But I like my favorite thing is to geek out with tech with my dad. Like when I go back home, the immediate things we'll do is like, all right, what latest trailers are in 4K? What gaming trailers are in 4K? Just so he could like kind of see the tech and everything like that. Cause he's always been a big tech geek when it comes to just visuals and how things look. And so I would love to eventually, hopefully upgrade him.
Well, dude, I have like my parents had an old plasma. They had one of those old, like, I want to say it was a Pioneer. I think the company is defunct now, but Pioneer used to have like a premium level TV. It was either Panasonic or
sound stuff.
Yeah, I can't. I'm gonna get this mixed up, and someone in the chat is gonna be like, "You're an idiot."
It's probably Pioneer or Panasonic.
It was like, yeah, it was like a dope ass, really expensive TV to the point where it had like one cord that went up to the TV that fed to a media box where all the inputs were. And I was like, "This is cool," but it seems like it's really extra for two people in their 60s who really don't watch a lot of TV. And then but it was a plasma. And I'll never forget that, like, I came back like a year later and I swear to God I could tell you at least 3 or 4 of the headline stories from the news they'd been watching, because my mom would just leave it on the news show and the little ticker would just be there. And so it was like there were just emblems from all the, like, NBC News, whatever, just burned into it. And you'd be watching Harry Potter and be like, wow, I mean, that storm sounded real bad. It just sounded so bad.
Like every doctor's office TV where it has the ESPN logo on the bottom left, just CNN or whatever.
But I'll never forget, I blew my mom's mind one time when I was like, I think it was like 2 or 3 months into owning this TV. I came back to visit and I was like, why does this look like shit? And my mom was like, I don't know. One of my brother's friends told him to buy this and like took him. And it was like, you know, talked him into buying this TV that was probably like $2,000. And they did not need to spend that much. And my mom was pissed. She was like, this thing doesn't look any better than my other TV. And I can't believe that we spend this much money into it. And I was like, well, let me see. And I picked up the remote and I hit the guide channel and it was like channel 150. And I was I was like, Mom, you're on the standard definition channel.
Oh,
she's like, what the hell does that mean? She's like, what does that mean? And I went to like 1500 and she was like, oh. It was pretty amazing. My mom's now watching, like, Mom, look how much crisper CSI Miami looks. The colors are so vivid. God bless her. But yeah, anyway, so I'm excited for to upgrade and it's gonna be so cool. I feel like I'm putting it off blessing right now. Like, I'm not going to do it yet when that PS5 comes.
I'm doing it too. That's the thing. The PS5 is going to be the pushing point. Once the PS5 comes out, I cannot do 1080p anymore. That's the thing that's going to push
me. But you guys are in such close range of that.
Just get it now.
Why would you not get it now?
because Blessing's like me, maybe something cool is going to come around the corner and it's going to
be the one you want.
Like, but that's bullshit.
But it's never going to be the stuff that you're actually going to buy.
That's what I'm saying. You're never going to actually get that cool new thing. You're going to say, oh, well, this thing's on sale. I might as well get this older thing when you could have just gotten that thing now.
But here's the problem. I put off buying a brand new laptop because I use Macs. Again, that's my cross to bear, everyone. Don't jump down my throat and be like PC Nation out there. And I put it off buying for a long time because I was just like, I don't think they're there yet. And I just want to wait for that next jump. And then finally, the new MacBooks that came out this year, I was like, this is it. This is the one. Everyone across the board's like, if you were waiting for the last 5 years to buy a new laptop, this is the one to get. And I was like, vindication, Andy. I waited and I got it.
But that's also just Apple and their shitty decision making.
Oh, 100%. Like, yeah. The other day, my wife has an older laptop, and she was like, why are my keys sticking? And I was like, oh, no. Because she's got the shittier keyboard. And I was like, I don't want to have to explain to you that you have the inferior keyboard.
The super low one, yeah.
Yeah, but we blew it out with some compressed hair. It's totally fine now.
I would love for almost like an extreme home makeover where we send Nick and Dee out to Napa. Go drink some wine. Go be all hoity-toity with everybody up there, right? Meanwhile, Kevin and I go to Nick's house and we're going to go full on. We're going to tech this place out and we're going to get full Philips everything. Philips Hue lights, everything.
Hue lights the entire place.
Joey, I'm talking like a 75-inch OLED with like the craziest sound system. And then Nick comes back and then Dee divorces him.
Yeah. Daniel's like, there's exactly too much shit in this apartment. I'm out.
Actually, it's funny because like when we first moved in here, we've been married for coming up on 8 years. But we've been together for a lot longer than that. We got engaged and we moved in together. So I think all told, we've been in our apartment for 9 years. But when we got married, we got like all new stuff because I was like, oh, this is awesome. We're starting our life together. Blessing. We got forks. We bought new forks. I was like, I'd never owned a set of forks before. Like up until I got married, you'd open my drawer and it would be like three forks that I stole from my mom. I don't know where I got this fork from. And this one maybe I found on the street. Who knows? So we got all new stuff. But it's weird to look back. Like, we had a new couch. That was like the biggest purchase I've ever had in my entire life. And it's weird to look back on that now and be like, oh, it's like, we need a new couch. It's discolored. Right when this whole thing started, I spilled Chipotle sauce on the couch. And I spilled it in such a way that it looks like I shot a burrito and it's blood splattered all over the couch. And then so for 3 weeks, I was like blotting the stain. And I'm like, I'm getting it out. I'm going to get this thing out. And then finally, if you look at it right in the right light, it looks like I bleached my couch to get out like the evidence of a crime. And so like I would be, Andy, in other words, it would be a waste of time because if you upgrade one thing, you have to
upgrade everything. Then it makes everything else look so much worse.
Yeah. Exactly. And so that's another reason why we're trying to figure out if we're going to stay here for a while. And obviously this pandemic is not helping. We were thinking about potentially moving to a different building because our building that we're in right now is very, very old. And it's to the point where I think I saw the fire inspector walk through the other day. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy with a clipboard? And he had a badge on. So I was like, well, he must be no gun, but a badge. I was like, a firefighter, hopefully. And I was like, what's going on? He's like, man, I'm just looking at making sure this building's up to code. And I was like, is it? And he's like, well, I got to go. He's like, hey, answer my question.
See you later.
I was like, wait. So, yeah, I mean, we're just trying to, I mean, that's the problem with this pandemic. I feel like, I mean, aside from the fact that people are really, really hurting out there, physically and mentally, like it's just put a hold on everything. I feel like we're all just, you know, we're just like someone hit the pause button on our lives, which I know is not fair to say because I think we're making some of the best content we've ever made, but it's just crazy.
I definitely feel that too. Like, and that's also the big reason why I haven't switched up this TV yet is because I'm waiting on what the next thing is. Like in the world where this pandemic didn't happen and we were living our lives freely as usual, I probably would have found a different place and I probably would have gotten a new TV and I probably wouldn't be rocking this bed from the 1950s still. Like everything would have been upgraded. But yeah, once you upgrade one thing, it's then like, all right, I guess I got to establish my place here. I guess I got to just upgrade everything.
It looks like they took that bed from the Game of Thrones set.
They definitely did.
I think they did.
That looks like the set that Joffrey used to sleep in. That's the bed.
I was saying the place where Joffrey killed the prostitute woman that Tyrion was in love with.
With the crossbow or whatever. It was a horrible scene. Yeah. That's one of those things you have to feel bad for that actor a little bit, right? because he's going to be most famous for, well, I remember him in like, for a second he was in Batman Begins and he was like, no one's ever going to believe me. And then Batman gives him this like $4 million piece of tech. And the kid's like, I don't, no one's going to know this was yours. What the fuck? And then
he retired, didn't he?
Did he?
I think he retired.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that actor was like, I'm not going to act anymore after Game of Thrones for no real particular reason.
Yeah. We lost Joey.
That's okay. It happens once a podcast. It's at this point,
it didn't happen on Gamescast. So I thought we were, or not Gamescast, on Screencast. So I thought we were winning. But
can we come up with a term for that? I'm going to call it the Joey Noel moment. That's bad. We can come up with something better.
That's the moment. The Joey Noel.
You absolutely can.
The Joey Noel.
The gnomon.
That's also terrible. No,
that's really fucking terrible. Guys, you guys are talking about furniture. I got a big old box that Barrett helped me bring up. Let me bring it into the room real quick.
Go for it. While you're doing that,
I think I know what it is.
Very exciting. Blessing, I'm going to say, I will say this. I realize I just said, hey, totally wait. But I will also say that Lord knows how long this is going to last. And if something that's a purchase of that size is okay and doable for you, maybe it's worth doing right now. Because everyone needs a little bit of something to look forward to in their life.
That's
there's
the other
a
thing
little
that
joy now. New TV definitely helps.
Like honestly, like upgrading my camera setup alone has uplifted my spirits just a bit, and getting the desk did so much for me that right now I am looking into art to put on the walls, and I feel like once that happens, the next step
I just bought so much art.
You got to do
oh,
it.
Oh, really? Yeah, the next step after art is probably going to be hue lights, and then I'm going to get a new TV, and then I'm going to get a new, well, maybe not a new bed because I don't want to I don't want to try and get a bed through this small ass door over here.
Not to mention you would have to figure out what to do with the old bed, and that's annoying.
Yeah, and like there's only so much I can do because this.
Look at that. Andy got the chair. He got the
pro streamer Andy Cortez.
Whoa!
Wait a second.
We can't hear you, Andy.
I don't think he can. I don't know if he can hear us either.
He can't.
I
muted myself.
Oh,
I can hear you. How come Andy's getting all the merch? Where's my chair?
Because he's a real ass streamer. Blessing. Maybe if you stream more with us, play Predator tonight with us, then we would get a cool chair.
Ooh. Are you guys playing Predator tonight?
No, we're probably not gonna play tonight. I gotta finish The Last of Us, dude. And when I started this game, nobody told me it was 74 hours long, and that this game's starting to feel like it's a job for me, like a second job that I'm not getting paid for, and I'm about to bill Neil Druckmann for his time. I'm telling you that right now.
I get it, man.
It's a great game, and I highly, highly recommend everyone playing. And I would be totally surprised if it wasn't a huge game of the year contender, if not voted on pretty unanimously by everyone. But holy shit, man.
Wait till I tell you about the internet, Nick.
Nick doesn't know.
Internet, so many aspects of
it. As far as their feedback.
Also, Predator Underground is still a contender.
Dude, Predator. It's so fun. Well, we're playing again. Remember, everyone, I think we're playing a couple more streams this week. We're partnered again
Thursday
with
Elphonic, and Friday.
Thursday and Friday from 3 to 5. And I can't wait. I think they've got a new DLC coming out. So we're gonna play
actually
a little
really
bit
excited.
Of that.
I haven't played in a while just because I kind of burnt out on it. But the idea of jumping back in now and them having new DLC. And is there a new Predator? Have they added
I think
new
there
Predator
is. I believe that's the point. Yeah.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah. So wow.
Spoilers, man.
I'll tell you this. Whatchamacallit, part of the fun of it obviously is being able to hang out with everyone and just kind of play a game and have fun. But let's just call it what it is. It's also a great opportunity to make fun of Greg. And I know that you guys are, I'll say this. I know that you guys, I say this wholeheartedly, I 100% mean this, are much nicer, better people than I am in every way, shape of the imagination.
1000%.
And Andy, you don't have to shake your head that hard, but it's fine. I get it. But I also know that a part of all of us, we need to fuck with Greg just a little bit, just a little bit, just to even out, to balance out the universe. Right?
I don't know how much of that is just you manifesting these feelings in us.
I don't even know that it's manifesting. I think it's redirecting
feelings. Yeah, like you're kind of pushing these feelings onto all of us. Oh, he's doing the Albert Einstein.
Certainly, you all just hate him a little bit, right, guys?
Yeah.
We don't hate anyone. We just want to. You just got to knock him down a couple pegs here or there because he is such a special.
He's so good.
Yeah,
he is very good at being Predator. And that's the thing. That's actually one of the things that I learned when I first started working with him, like here, because I never really played games with him at IGN. But when we started this company and we started playing against each other, I was like, I didn't think you could actually be that markedly better at gaming than me. Like, I didn't realize that was necessarily a skill that one could have developed, because I understand.
You were running the streets in Smash Bros. You were running the studio. You were.
That's true, but I'm only good at Smash Bros. Whereas Greg has some sort of weird applicable talent across the board where
he can just jump into everything.
Like, I'll never forget when we played Nidhogg against him, and I was like, why? Why are you good at this of all fucking games? This game. Where it's the most maddeningly unskilled game ever, and Greg is housing people.
But it's so.
Do you remember
fun.
That, Andy?
It's
but the thing, the thing that I compare it to is like a lot of those party mode games. I had to sort of beef out with chat the other day because I was like, "Look, guys, look."
What's that mean? Beef out.
Greg was destroying me all the time in those old school party mode games. But what were those games? Top down little fucking dumb games, dude. That's all they were. The top-down little side-scrolling bullshits. You put me in a 1v1 arena with him in a first-person shooter. Are you kidding me, dude? Come on. Like, that it's a
he
different
game. He was thinking of the gauntlet game. Yesterday, though.
Huh?
Wasn't he, like, winning the gauntlet, like, almost every time?
The gulag?
Time,
yeah, he was gulag, he was messing people up in the gulag. Greg actually was gulag, surprisingly yeah. good at Warzone. But, again, and this is the reason why I feel like we can't let him slide too much. We could have won two games. And the reason why one of them, well, I'm sorry, we could have won one game. And the reason why we got close was because we played as a team. But Greg just refuses at Love least Wolf. One match of every single battle royale. He refuses to be a part of our team. And it's he never announces it. You just turn around and he's fucking gone.
I couldn't
and
believe
me and Lucy James are trying to like pull each other out of the fire.
I could not believe that that happened. Like, obviously, at the end of the day, I can believe that it happened. But
I believe it.
The fact that we see these people from far away, and I get sniped and immediately down from far away. And I go to the gulag, and I die. And I am assuming the other three people on this team, Nick, Greg, and Lucy, are battling it out with this squad. And then I come back, and Nick and Lucy are dead.
Or dead.
And Greg is still alive, and I say, wait, what happened? And they're like, he just left us. He left us here. Such he saw thing. Them fighting and peaced out. I peaced couldn't out. Believe it.
Peaced out. And it's here's the thing. I hate when he does it, but I respect it. It's so fucking hilarious every time he does it. And I hate that it happens to me, but at the same token, Andy, I respect the game. You know what I mean? Like, I respect the fact that he does that to me, of all people. And it's mostly just me that he does it to. Before we move on, of course, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to take a second to tell you about our sponsors. This episode of the Kind of Funny podcast is brought to you by Hims, a new wellness brand for men. Listen, guys, there's a common issue that guys face sometimes later in life. And you know what I'm talking about? Think long and hard about it. That's right. 40% of men by the age of 40 struggle from not being able to get and maintain an erection. And I'll tell you what, guys, I just turned 40. I am not looking forward to this. Barrett, as you know, when I was 25 years old, I started losing my hair. And Hims has helped me out with that. I take all their stuff on a daily basis to keep my hair. And man, I'll tell you what, if I lose my ability to salute Barrett, you know I'm coming right back to him for hims.com. That's what I'm going to do. let me tell you, for hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. Hims connects you with real licensed doctors and FDA-approved pharmaceutical products to help treat ED. These are well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you combat that erectile dysfunction. These are prescription solutions backed by science and made more affordable. See results where other treatments have fallen short. Man, I like the people that write these copies. They are people after my own heart. Stop worrying about the multiple in-doctor visits. No painful injections like other treatments. This is so easy. They're going to answer questions about your medical history. Excuse me. You're going to answer questions about your medical history and chat with a doctor for a confidential review. If approved by the doctor, products are shipped directly to your door. Being your best means performing your best. It's erectile without the dysfunction. Gotta love that. And this is going to be the hardest year of your life. And they mean that in a good way. And I back that. I fully percent back that. Here's the deal that Hims has for you right now. Try Hims today by starting out with a free online visit. Go to forhims.com/kindoffunny. That's forhims.com/kindoffunny. Forhims.com/kindoffunny. kind of funny. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information. This could cost you hundreds if you went in person to a doctor's office or pharmacy. Remember, that's forhims.com/kindoffunny. Now back to the show. And we're back, right? We don't read the ad for this. We read it before. There we go. Perfect. I want to ask you guys a question. Because it was something that I was watching before the show happened. And I wanted to get everyone's opinion on this. Has anyone been watching the Josh Gad reunion videos that he's been doing, Reunited Apart? Have you seen this at all?
I still haven't watched the Lord of the Rings ones.
Okay. So he has a show that I believe he's doing for a fundraiser that, to donate to a charity, that is basically he goes and he gets the whole cast of a movie and gets them all to Zoom in or Skype in or whatever, however they're doing it. And then he interviews them all like one by one. And then as they come
he did
in.
A Ghostbusters one, right?
I'm sure he did. But the first one I saw was the Lord of the Rings one, which I thought Andy would love. Because he got like pretty much the entire fellowship, I think, with the exception of maybe the guy that played Gimli.
I still haven't watched it, unfortunately.
I just started watching the Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I just Googled it and saw the ones that he did.
Oh my gosh. It's so good. It's amazing. I mean, first off, obviously Ferris Bueller's Day Off is so nostalgic for me because it was one of my favorite movies growing up. And seeing it be, he starts with Matthew Broderick and then he was like, he talked about the character and the process of him getting the role. And Matthew Broderick, of course, was like, I was doing a Broadway show at the time and I got a notification, like someone just said, hey, John Hughes likes you and he wants you to be in this movie. But then they start talking about like how he was like, well, you know, Ferris wouldn't be anyone without Cameron. And then Alan Ruck shows up.
Yeah.
And then they're like, of course, it wasn't just two people. There were three people that made the Day Off.
I think it's Sloan.
And of course, it was Mia Sara and she shows up. And then I think because I saw her tweeting about it, Jennifer Grey shows up too.
The unrecognizable and Jennifer Grey.
God bless her. God bless her. But Jennifer Grey is, in my opinion, I think that was probably her best role. And I don't know if you guys are familiar at all with Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But back in the day, Matthew Broderick playing Ferris Bueller, the titular role, was a big star in it. But Jennifer Grey, in her own right, may have been, at that time, a bigger star.
After Dirty Dancing?
I think it might have been around that time. I don't know. I'd have to look into it. But I just remember seeing her and being like, wow, it's weird that she chose to do this role, which is a co-star character. It's not the main character. Like, it would have been different if she was Sloane, but she chose to do Jeannie, the sister. And then when I watched that movie, I was like, I watched it as an adult and I'm like,
oh, this was before Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. Okay. So she might not have been, I think it was right after Red Dawn. And I think Red Dawn broke her.
Yeah. Red Dawn was 84. Dirty Dancing was 87. And Ferris was 86.
Okay. So she was coming up. But man, you look back at that as an adult and you go, of course she did that role. Because the Jeannie character is like, in my opinion, the most fun and most memorable. Like, you just get to be an asshole to everyone around you. And that was so different than anything else that she had done. So when she gets to like Dirty Dancing, of course she plays like this naive coming of age story about about this woman who's out like literally on vacation with her parents and has to like face real world issues. But man, I'll tell you what, if I got to be in Ferris and they were like, you can't be Ferris, I'm like, I want to be the asshole brother that just fucking tortures people the entire time because it's so fun. But yeah, so I want to watch that. But I wanted to ask you guys, are there any reunions that you would want to see for movies that are like nostalgic for you?
Oh man.
Oh, that's a good one.
Movies is difficult for me. I can think of TV shows.
Fresh
Prince, I would love to see a reunion of. Mm-hmm. I think that would be amazing. And of course, like, rest in peace, James Avery. But like, you know, get Will Smith in there. I know Aunt Viv, original Aunt Viv, have some beef, and so maybe she doesn't have to show up. But
she's not coming. She is not coming.
She's not coming. But get Will, get Carlton, get the butler, get everybody through. And honestly, I would love to see. And this probably could never happen, but I would love to see some sort of reunion episode. But just like a last send off for the cast. I know like Fresh Prince ended pretty well, but just one more. You know, one more. That's one show that I think is so iconic for everybody.
Real talk, I would fully support what they did with Full House. If they brought Will Smith back for Netflix and did Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and he is like he just has made it, and he's rich. Yeah, he's Uncle Phil now, and then he has like a niece or a nephew that comes in, and they just redo the show. I don't give a shit that it's contrived, and it's the most easy get. Just do it. Bring back Carlton. Bring back Ashley. Bring back all of the characters. Yeah, I don't know if the butler. I don't know if the butler's still alive, but I'm sure he probably is. But bring them all back. Put them in the house. Fresher Prince of Bel Air. Done.
Now, would you want it to be Jaden Smith as the son figure?
Maybe. I don't know. No, because I'd want. I don't know.
Maybe. I kind of part of me would want like an unknown. I feel like an unknown would fit the role better.
I would want it to be different. My first instinct is to like. Is to switch it up a little bit. But I mean, they have good chemistry, right? Obviously, he's acted opposite his son twice now, right? I think they were in The Pursuit of Happiness and After Earth together.
And After Earth.
And he was good in that. And
Jaden Smith has grown pretty well. I don't know if he's actually still acting. I know he's put a lot of focus in his music. His music is actually surprisingly good.
The only reason I would say not Jaden was because I don't know if he has the comedic chops. Part of the reason why Fresh Prince was so good is because I could watch Will Smith by himself on screen acting opposite a coffee cup and it would still be freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like you have to get someone, you have to find that next actor that's going to have that charisma to bounce off of Will Smith. But I think you could find
that. That's honestly probably the toughest thing is seeing somebody who could bounce off of Will Smith. Because in a show that is Will Smith is playing the Uncle Phil figure, Will Smith is still going to be the most interesting character in that show. Like he's going to be the most attractive, like all the focus is going to be on Will Smith. And so to find an actual main character that's going to be able to compete with that is going to be really difficult.
I'll tell you what happens. Will Smith gets super rich because he becomes a YouTuber. And it's not it's not Will Smith the actor. It's YouTube. Will Smith became a YouTuber and now has, check it out. Now he has a content creator house, these content creators. And it's all these brand new Will Smiths coming in. Oh, I tell you what, we get CGI young Will Smith from that Ang Lee movie.
From Gemini Man. Yeah. What are they doing with that model? Like, it's just sitting in a computer somewhere being like, put me back in active duty.
It's trying to wake up and trying to escape.
Oh, man.
I think Fresh Prince would be an awesome reunion. I'm also trying to think of... it's funny that you said rest in peace, James Avery, because that's who we thought
Reginald Bell Johnson was.
Carl Winslow.
I was like, I don't think he's dead, but I'll go with it because I don't want to be insensitive to.
We totally killed Reginald Bell Johnson. Like I thought, I was like, oh, he's dead, right? And everybody was like, yeah, he's dead. He's died. And we were like, no, wait, that's Uncle Phil. That's Shredder. Yeah, that was very sad.
That's funny.
I would love to see a Family Matters reunion. With all the different moms.
Interesting.
Remember how they casted a different mom?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Was that a thing for Family Matters?
Yeah. Are you still thinking of Fresh Prince?
No, I'm pretty sure I'm thinking of...
Because it's the aunt in Fresh Prince that got recast, right?
Yeah. Aunt Viv. I think that for anyone not familiar, I think the first season of Fresh Prince or two, it was Aunt Viv. And then they had some personality clashes with Will Smith. Everyone basically was like, she thinks the show should be about her. That's his words, not mine.
I thought Family Matters had the mom issue where they recast the mom because she wanted more pay.
Maybe. I mean, you guys know that.
Wow, what did I just type? FSA Money Matter?
There you go. But I'll say this. I think, who is Urkel? Is that Jaleel White? Is that he popped up on a couple episodes of Psych. And I was like,
of course he did.
He's still got it. He's still
They did change Harriet Winslow, yeah.
Crazy.
In fact, she wanted to move on prior to its final season, but was bound by her contract. I actually made the decision to leave the show 2 years before I left. She was replaced by Judy Ann Elder. It was just weird when they switched over to a different mom. It was bizarre.
I don't like that. And like, honestly, it's end the show at that point. Like Fresh Prince was different because it was so early on. But I don't know, maybe
kill her off.
I feel like you could do different plot devices where you wouldn't just have to end it, but you would
divorce,
kill her off. Divorce. She gets a face off, Andy. Face off.
Wow, they clone.
Just replace her with Nicolas Cage.
I was gonna say Boy Meets World, but then I realized that they did do Girl Meets World.
They did do that. How did that go?
I watched of it, it was all right. But I got watched the first few episodes.
I got an awesome
it's like
text.
Killer House, I think.
I got an awesome text from my dad, and he took a photo of my nephew and niece is watching Boy Meets World. And my dad was like, reminds me of somebody I know. Because like my brother and I would always watch Boy Meets World back in the day. And my niece and nephew, love this goddamn show. It's making me so happy. My brother texted me. He was like, did you get a photo with Eric Matthews? I'm blanking. Will Friedle. He's like, did you get a photo of Will Friedle when he was there? I was like, no, like it's kind of weird to do that. And
yeah,
and he was like, ah, shit, because like when I told Nathan that you were, that he was in your studio, he like freaked out.
<He's> like, that's awesome.
He couldn't believe that he was there. Yeah, Boy Meets World would be great, only because that cast was just so endearing.
I forgot.
Yeah, man, I want them to do like a reboot or like a reunion episode, but you do include what's her name? The one who's a porn star now, the redhead,
redhead.
Like the roommate. Yeah.
Oh, Rachel.
Yes, Rachel.
And Rachel became a she became a porn star in the show.
In real life.
No, but I mean like in the show, like that's her story as well.
That's where she ended up. Yeah.
Is that the kind of material? And correct my ignorance. Sorry for my ignorance, but is that the kind of material that Boy Meets World would
that show grew up with the audience?
It's for
that
a modern age.
That show, like they started off in middle school and it was very much a kid's show. And by the time they got to college, like Corey was trying to bang Topanga every single episode.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
I feel like at this point, like it's there.
And Eric Eric Matthews and his brother, what's his name? Lawrence?
Joey Lawrence.
Yeah. Eric Matthews and Joey Lawrence's character were always trying to bang the redhead.
Wait, they were Joey Lawrence in this?
No, it's Matthew Lawrence.
Okay. So Joey Lawrence is from Blossom.
Yeah,
I was like, there's no way he was in Boy Meets World, because by the time that show was on, he must have been like in his 20s.
His little brother Matthew was in the
brotherly
show.
Brotherly love with the third brother.
Wow.
So
Joey Lawrence.
Andrew Lawrence, I think.
Yes. I think Andrew, something like that.
You guys, sorry, as a side note, kind of non sequitur, watched, which we're going to talk about on Screencast this week, a movie called Villains that stars Bill Skarsgård. Save the criticism of it or any feedback you have for it. Let's talk about that on Screencast on Thursday. But I was like, hey, I was watching it with my wife and we watched it together. And I was like, hey, do you know who that guy is? And she goes, no. And I was like, that's Bill Skarsgård. He played Pennywise the clown in It. And she goes, isn't he the one that dated Maggie Gyllenhaal? And I was like, I don't think so. And we went on a freaking rabbit hole. Did you know that there's like 5 Skarsgårds that are acting right now?
Yeah.
There's Stellan Skarsgård, who was in Thor, and then he's got like 4 sons. Alexander Skarsgård, I think, is the guy from True Blood and Battleship. This guy, Bill Skarsgård, there's like a Matt Skarsgård too, I think, or Sam or something like that, who was in Vikings.
Matt,
and then there's another Skarsgård.
There's
so many Skarsgårds, is this. And all of them were not the person my wife was talking about. My wife was like, that's none of the people. None of these guys are the ones I'm talking about. Turns out she was talking about the guy from Jarhead, who is not Skarsgård. Now I'll look it up. But we had a moment yesterday where I was like, it was one of those where I'm like, are we going to fight over this? Are we going to fight? I'm like, this was the guy from It. I'm looking it up right now. And she's like, that's not the guy that dated Maggie Gyllenhaal. And I was like, oh.
It sounds like you're still confused about it, though. So maybe she's
no,
right.
What's the guy's name? Hold on. I'll look at it. It was Jarhead cast. Look it up. Joe, what about
While Nick's looking that up, I have a couple of things that I want reunions of.
Peter Sarsgaard is who she was talking about. Peter Sarsgaard. Different thing. Sorry.
Interesting. I don't know.
Continue, Joe. My bad.
I want a reunion of all of that on Nickelodeon.
Oh, yes.
You know, that's back?
But it's not the original cast, though, right?
I think there's like one person from, or maybe it was one episode.
I want everybody back for one reunion episode.
I can be with that.
So many good people that were on it.
The whole Skarsgård family looks like they are uncharted villains, by the way.
Dude,
aren't they usually villains?
They usually, Bill was, obviously, he was in It. Stellan Skarsgård, I think, played the bad guy in. He's usually a good guy. He's usually the plucky, weird science guy. He played a bad guy in Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Right.
And I think he was sort of an ambiguously bad / good Russian general in Chernobyl. I think he was in that, right?
Peter Skarsgård.
Alexander was in Big Little Lies.
Oh, there's wait.
So many Skarsgårds.
I know.
Oh. What? Wait.
Yeah,
it's blowing your mind right now, Andy.
No, wait. The whoa.
I'm looking it up.
The guy who dated Maggie Gyllenhaal is not a Skarsgård. He is Sarsgaard without a K.
Peter Sarsgaard.
Without a K. He's not part of the Skarsgård family with a K. He's just Sarsgaard.
This was the confusing factor in the Scarpino household.
Okay, I understand
yesterday.
The confusion now.
Do you see what I was getting at? This is this. My wife was like, "You're wrong," and I was like, "You're wrong. What are we talking about? I don't think these guys ever dated Maggie Gyllenhaal. Why are we so caught up on Maggie Gyllenhaal? I think they might be married."
I was like, "Surely this one website just has a typo and didn't put the letter K." But Peter Sarsgaard.
Now, Peter, if you guys Googled Peter Sarsgaard, you'd immediately know who we're talking about. He's been in like so many things.
Did he play Snowden, or does he just look like Snowden?
He just looks like Snowden. He is, in fact, married to Maggie Gyllenhaal. So it all comes full circle. They have been married since 2009. That is a successful Hollywood relationship.
Or he doesn't have a K, but he has two A's in his name.
Snowden's not who I'm thinking about. I'm thinking of Julian Assange.
Oh, he does actually look a lot like
Julian. He looks like Julian Assange, man. It's crazy.
Which one's the one that's stuck in Russia right now? That's Snowden, right?
That's Snowden.
He looks like Snowden.
He looks like... Isn't it Joseph Gordon-Levitt who played Snowden?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Called it.
What movie was this? Because I want to watch it.
It's called Snowden.
No, it's called Snowden. Oh,
yeah. I didn't realize they made that movie. That's awesome.
They did.
The Den
of Snow.
That movie
was scary as shit. Remember the scene in Snowden where he was like, "Give me your phones," and then he like puts them all in like the bag, and they're like, "We're totally fine. We're in the thing." And he's like, "We're not." He's like, "We're never fine. They can always listen to you through your phones." And he puts them like a special bag, and then he's like, "I know they probably know I'm here right now." And then literally, as they're talking, everyone's like, "You're being way too paranoid." The fire alarm in the hotel he's staying at starts going off, and there's just this moment where you're like, "Shit. Maybe they do know it's him." Turns out someone just accidentally lit something on fire. He was the whole time. Nobody cares about Snowden. let's talk a little bit about some Patreon questions today. How do we feel about that, ladies and gentlemen?
I'm for it.
I feel pretty great about it. Of course, if you want to support this show, you can go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny and back us. $1 it really, really helps. But if you want to be a part of the show, $5 gets you the ability to write in and ask some questions to us. Pluckier the better these days, because we need a good laugh all the time. Grant Burton wrote in and said, "The Expendables franchise had a cast made up of the biggest and best action stars of all time, and Frasier." And I believe Kelsey Grammer wasn't one of those. "If a comedy equivalent was ever made, who would you cast in the ensemble?" So now I'm going to throw...
How many spots do we have is the question.
So,
yeah, I love this question.
I'm opening a Google Doc.
We have are we opening a Google Doc? Okay. I think we can have as many as we want, because there was so many people. I couldn't even tell you. At least
and I guess 20. There's like three of the Expendables, so they keep bringing people in, right?
Exactly. Now, I will say this. He's talking about the Expendables. So it cannot be a person who currently has a great career in Hollywood as a comedic actor.
Oh,
it has to be someone who is slightly not bankable anymore, but we still want to see on screen as sort of like a shell of what they used to be.
That's a good point.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So does that rule out Dave Chappelle?
Yes.
Because I feel like we would have considered him 3 years ago.
3 years ago, yes. 3 years ago, yes. But
right?
I think he's back. But Eddie Murphy, on the other hand, I feel like could be put in this.
I feel like Dave Chappelle was always somebody that you took more serious than other comedian. Like, I feel like he's on way too grand a level of comedy than anybody in the Expendables were in terms of like action. I don't know. It's hard to. I think
like
he's
for sure. No, you're absolutely right. Because like, look at. Let's take a step back for anyone who doesn't remember. Sylvester Stallone at one point was one of the biggest stars on the planet. Like, he was one of the most bankable Hollywood action stars of the 80s and early 90s. And still to this day, ends up still putting together some really good films, not the least of which was the last two Rocky films, Creed, were freaking phenomenal. But he has lost a step. So is Arnold Schwarzenegger. These guys were titans back in the day. And now Schwarzenegger's doing movies like Get Gunther and the one where he plays a random small-town sheriff, and everyone's like, why is he German? I don't know. It doesn't matter. So that's what I'm saying. Like, Chappelle, it's too hard to distinguish him from who he is right now, which in my opinion is like a AAA stand-up comic, maybe the best living stand-up comedian of our time. He's out. Eddie Murphy, though, blessing, hasn't made his comeback yet.
I feel like he's in the middle of it, though. like with that, I forget the name of the movie on Netflix that came out, the Netflix original movie.
Dolomite Is My Name.
Yes, Dolomite Is My Name. He came out with that, and I don't know if we consider that a hit. I didn't watch it because, well, I watched like a little bit of it and fell off of it.
It got nominated for, I think, either Oscars or Emmys. So for sure, it's a hit. Andy from Kind of Funny.
In the same way that we can put Mickey Rourke in The Expendables, we can put Eddie Murphy in this comedy movie. Okay. Because I feel like, sure, you're having a little bit of a resurgence, and you're eventually going to get Netflix specials, right? I think where Eddie Murphy is coming back.
Yeah.
But I think that there was long enough of a down period, and I feel like you could have been the butt of the joke in Hollywood during your downtime, which sounds bad, but Eddie Murphy could have definitely been the butt of a joke
in Hollywood
for a while. Yeah,
there were moments where he was just turning out stinkers and his career tanked.
Yeah, like Meet Dave, Pluto Nash, like you're definitely in this list, Eddie Murphy. You killed it with Nutty Professor. Everything after that sucked.
I'd also say, like, you know, the Eddie Murphy versus Dave Chappelle comparison is I think there's an argument you can make that Dave Chappelle might be in his prime right now, whereas Eddie Murphy, his prime is his prime was definitely like 30 years ago around that.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, right, like, you wouldn't argue that right now Eddie is in his prime.
Nutty Professor popped off. Let's not ignore that.
But I feel like that was even like a step down from like his like really good stuff.
And y'all are forgetting Daddy's Daycare. All right, I'm just want to throw that out there. Daddy's Daycare.
Well, we're also forgetting Shrek, which was a huge
thing.
Oh,
Shrek is huge.
Which leads me to the first person on my list, which I think is Mike Myers.
Ooh, that's a good one. You got to do Mike Myers in there.
Yeah,
I love Mike Myers
on the list.
The one where he's the turtle? Like that was
no. That's Dana Carvey.
He's also on my list.
Turtle.
Yeah,
Dana Carvey 100% also. I couldn't remember his name, so I put the one in the worst, Missy.
Joey, okay, you're thinking of Don't Mess with David the Spade. Zohan.
Oh, well, there we go.
Joey went from, she goes, let's put Mike Myers in there. He was the guy who played the turtle, which was Dana Carvey. And she goes, right, the guy from The Wrong Missy, which was David Spade, not Dana Carvey. So we've got three actors right now. All, by the way, all
great picks
could absolutely be in The Expendables.
Like,
for sure.
I think we can look to a lot of Sandler's crew and throw him in there.
We could look to Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler's on that list.
No, I mean, sure. I would say that, but he did Uncut Gems, and it's so good.
But like, that's so, like, I guess that is a comedy, but it's also not of a comedy.
Oh no, it's not a comedy at all. But what I'm saying is, Adam Sandler, when he wants to, turns out gold, like triple.
He's so rich.
But like, what other ones have we gotten though besides Uncut Gems?
So recently are good, Uncut Gems.
But this
he's
is like
Uncut Gems, Funny People, and Punch Drunk Love, which I think are the three movies that I like are legit good Adam Sandler movies.
Those are like
15 years.
10, 15 years ago.
What? Because he gave us The Wrong Missy, he's going on this list. That movie was.
And he gave us Pixels.
He did give us Pixels, didn't he? Well, that whole crew, that whole grown-up crew.
And the weird one with
on
the
this.
Shoe cobbler, right? Wasn't that him?
Well, let me ask you this, Blessing. What about Chris Rock? Because Chris Rock hasn't done.
Oh,
I think Chris Rock goes on the list.
Chris Rock is on the list.
I think he's absolutely on the list.
So right now, I got Eddie Murphy, Mike Myers, Adam Sandler, Chris Rock.
Rip. And that's a movie I would watch the shit out of right now.
Yeah.
We gotta put a couple of people on.
I feel like you need Pauly Shore on there if we're going like older. God. Like everything he did was pretty
bad. That is
bad.
100% true.
My mind immediately goes to SNL people, old SNL actors.
Someone in the chat put out there Brendan Fraser. How do we feel about Brendan Fraser?
Not a comedic actor per se, though. He did a lot of action.
He has comedic elements, but I don't.
He could show up in The Expendables, and I think that would be acceptable.
I feel like the only comedic thing he's ever really been in. He was in the Caveman movie.
Last from the Past was kind of comedic.
He was also in the Looney Tunes, that second Looney Tunes movie.
I'm going to throw this out there.
What?
As a person who I think is still at the top of her game, but for not comedy. I'm going to throw Ellen DeGeneres on this list. Because she hasn't done, she did that last stand-up special, and that was the first actual like piece of comedic art that she's put out there that wasn't her daytime television show in probably like 10, 15 years. How do we feel about that?
Also,
is she just too big? Is she too big?
Nope. Also, I think she's too big, but she may need this comedic movie once nobody wants to work with her anymore.
It does. There has been some interesting critiques of her managerial style that have come out over the last couple months.
Yeah.
So that's very true. But you're also forgetting the fact that everyone, a lot of viewers love Ellen. So hopefully she can learn from that, weather the storm, and stop pulling fucking asshole pranks on her, on people, and just treating people like they don't exist.
How do we feel
Jim Carrey?
Seth Green
I think are really good.
Those are good points.
I think Jim Carrey is excellent too.
The thing is, Seth Green is still very successful monetarily. Like there
so
are
is
some
Jim Carrey. So is Jim Carrey.
What is he doing though?
Seth Green.
Yeah.
He's still doing Robot Chicken on Adult Swim. Like it's,
he also just pops up. Like Seth Green, in my opinion, has a ideal career. You see Seth Green at a party, you go, fuck, that's cool. That's Seth Green. But he's not so famous that you're like, I have to hang out with Seth Green. If it happens organically, you're like, how fucking cool is it? Blessing that we're hanging out with Seth Green right now. But if it doesn't, you're like, I saw Seth Green at a party. And someone goes, cool, what do you want for dinner? That's the kind of celebrity that I want to have one day. And also, he gets to just guest star on people's shit. So if the show sucks, he gets to be the cool part of it. But if the show's good, it furthers his career. And also, he was in Can't Hardly Wait, which is one of my all-time favorite coming-of-age teen drama movies.
Incredible movie.
Nick, don't undersell yourself. I'm sure there's someone out there who's once said, hey, I saw Nick Scarpino today. And then someone responded, cool, what do you want for dinner?
Yeah, that's 100% happened. That's thank you, Barrett. In other words, I've made it to obscurity, and that's great.
I would vote Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, but not necessarily known as a comedic actor though. You see him from Two and a Half Men, but you have to remember Charlie Sheen did like Platoon back in the day.
Also, he's crazy as fuck, and I don't know, like. Do we want to bring that brand back? Really?
Ooh. Yeah, but think about all the Hot Shots movies.
He did two. That's true.
Two of them.
He did
Two and a Half Men.
What about Tom Arnold?
Tom Arnold's great. Tom Arnold is one of my all-time favorites for one movie and one movie only. And Joey, if you can think of the movie I'm thinking about right now, extra credit for you. You get a cracked TV delivered to your house today.
I just had one taken away.
What movie do I love that Tom Arnold is in that he's genius in?
Is he in 9 months?
He might actually be in 9 months. That? Yeah, with Hugh Grant. That's a pretty good movie. That's not the one I'm thinking of, though. This one's more famous from the director that gave us Titanic.
I have no idea.
I'm sorry. Wait, you said Tom Green or Tom Arnold?
I said Tom Arnold.
Okay. Tom Arnold. Same person.
Tom Green, also great, though.
Tom Green on this list, by the way. Tom Green going on the list. No, Tom Arnold was in a movie called True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh.
And he was
Jamie Lee Curtis?
Hilarious in that movie. And Jamie Lee Curtis, also amazing in that movie.
Good.
Put all the damn Wayans brothers on there. And the Wayans.
Damon Wayans for sure. Damon Wayans for sure.
Dude, I saw one of them do stand up live about a few years ago, and they did not do a good job. It was kind of dead in that crowd.
That's so sad, man.
Yeah, but I love them though. Like I love Wayans brothers.
Dude, back in the day, Damon Wayans was like a force to be reckoned with. Like that dude was. I would love. There's certain people that I'd love to go back and just see do stand up. Damon Wayans is one of those guys because he blew up and he blew up fast, and then started. He had a great movie career. The Last Boy Scout, freaking phenomenal.
What about Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I don't know. He does like comedians and cars and like.
I would put Seinfeld on the same level as Dave Chappelle in terms of.
But like, I feel like he's way past his prime, though, is the thing. Like, I don't think people would say Seinfeld is in his prime right now. And that's the way I kind of look at it.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, but I also look at it like, is he so famous that if he wanted to sell like Madison Square Garden, he could? And if that's the case, I don't think he belongs on this list. Seinfeld's like still, if he wants to, I mean, he still does stand up and he's still the stand up special. So I think he's not famous because he doesn't want to be famous.
I think comedians and cars getting coffee is a great point, Joe. Like that, I think that modernizes him and you know, yeah, he can't be on this list because of that show.
Now she's still acting, but what about Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
I think Veep puts her out of the ring.
Yeah, but if Veep has done, what has she done lately, though? Veep's been done for 2 years now.
That's not long enough.
Yeah. Veep's still very
I just
relevant.
Think that, dude, she's so fucking funny.
We need more women in this list.
So I was thinking Melissa McCarthy, Joe, but Melissa McCarthy goes on a different list, and that list is the greatest of all time list, in my opinion. So she does not need, she doesn't belong to be on the has been list because she's still bringing the fucking heat. And that's a pun intended, everyone. She's still bringing the heat every time she's on the screen.
What about Sarah Silverman?
Now, here's Joe. Sorry to tell you one thing right now. Sarah Silverman, 100% on this list. Blessing. That's a great choice. Please put that on the Excel spreadsheet that we will be passing to Greg so that he can get us financing for this movie.
I'm doing it right now.
Melissa McCarthy, Joe, you forget, is an amazing comedic actor, but also was in Can You Ever Forgive Me, which is one of my favorite movies from, I think, last year when it came out. She's a great, 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 like, dramatic actor as well.
That I know, because I like it. Well, she's not dramatic in Gilmore Girls. It's more comedy stuff, but she's great.
You should watch Can You Ever Forgive Me? Like, it's actually...
Which one? I feel like you've tried to pitch me on this, but I don't remember.
It's based on, I want to say her name is Lee something. It's based on a real story about a writer who used to write, like, biographies on people and started forging letters, like historic letters, and selling them and making a ton of money off of it. But, like, obviously gets caught and disgraced. And it's just, it's really deep and really good movie.
Hmm.
All right. Well, this is a good list.
Ladies, what do we have? Who we have on the list right now? Sorry.
Blessing, can you read that off? Far,
yeah, we have Eddie Murphy, Mike Myers, Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, Jim Carrey, Tom Green, the Wayans brothers, Sarah Silverman, and then possibly Ellen. It didn't seem like we were decided on that or not.
Now, I'm going to throw this out there, but she's way too incendiary probably. But I just, you can't have a list of has-been comics without bringing up Roseanne Barr. And I know she's untouchable right now because she's a little, should stay off Twitter forever. But man, Roseanne was the shit back in the late 80s, early 90s. Just throwing that out there.
Does Gary Busey count?
Gary Busey does not count as a comic because he might be insane. And so I think all of his roles that he thought were comedic roles were actually supposed to be real, like dramatic roles, and they just came off comedic. So that does not count.
That's fair.
Although he wasn't Point Break. And we do love Point Break.
We do love Point Break here. Kind of funny.
This is the Point Break house. Not that abomination remake Point Break where they totally missed the point of Point Break. We like Keanu Reeves' Point Break. Man, I saw a picture of Keanu Reeves the other day when he was young, sitting on a patio at a hotel in France with his feet up, not wearing any shoes and jeans. I was like, man, what was it like being Keanu Reeves? Right around like Bill and Ted's when you're just starting to get huge. Must have been cool.
Really quick, Chance Carter throws out there in the chat. What about Dane Cook? Where do we land Dane Cook?
Dane Cook wants to be in this, but everyone's like, I'm sorry,
do
Dane.
We
don't have room for you, Dane. That sucks.
We'll get you in number three.
But Dane Cook is in the number three, like comedy Expendables 3.
Where he was like, at first he thought he was too big to be in it. And then his agent after the second one was like, dude, we got to get you in on this, man. Sorry. We got to get you back out on the road and, you know, doing what you got to do.
Wanda Sykes can be the hacker.
But the problem is Wanda Sykes is still crushing it. She's still out there crushing
it. Is she?
Yeah, she still does shit. She was on the last season of, was she on the last season of Curb? No, I work my way backward. Sorry. She was on like the third season of Curb, but I started watching season 7 and then I went 6, 5, 4 and then I got to the Wanda Sykes.
Oh my gosh.
I know she's on it. She pops up every once in a while on Curb Enthusiasm, right?
God. Yeah, but like, that's not leading a role.
No, it's true. Yeah, I both put Wanda Sykes on there. Why not?
She was on the Ugly. She was in the Ugly Dolls movie.
George Lopez.
Yeah, but see, George is one of those guys that I feel like could still have whatever the hell he wanted. He's still such a huge name, but I feel like he just doesn't want to work as much anymore. Like he did The Wall, which is one of my favorite specials from like 2 years ago. I feel like he just wants to do stand-up now because he made that TV money and he's like, I got fuck you money for days and I'll just do stand-up. And I would say
George Lopez would be a phenomenal cameo.
Like a drop-in, like I'm still doing it. Like when Schwarzenegger dropped in on like I think the second Expendables and was like, I don't want to be in this movie because I see myself as better than you guys, but I'll drop in to say what's up just to prove to you guys that I'm better. And then by the time they get to Expendables 5, he's like, please give me a role in this.
I like the idea that
governor anymore.
There's a secret messenger that they have to go find, and like they finally track him down, and they turns around in the chair, and it's George Lopez, and he's like, orale, or something like that.
Now,
Nick, I have one last one.
One final one from Joey, and then we're going to go into the post show. Joey,
it's kind of niche.
To round out this
Judge list. Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold? Is he still alive? That's a real question.
He was in Arrested Development because there's that whole bit where he was playing a judge in that show on TV.
Yeah, he's still alive.
That's the last I've heard of him, though.
63 years old. And also, it looks like he has some mugshots, which I don't know what that's from.
63?
I mean, to be way older. Dude, when you're Judge Reinhold, you've lived your life. You know, you've gotten out there. You're like Tim Allen, man. You started out selling cocaine. You're going to finish selling cocaine. And ladies and gentlemen, we are wrapping this podcast up. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kind of Funny podcast. If you didn't know, this podcast is where four, sometimes five best friends gather around this table, each bringing topics that they want to talk about for your amusement. Today, we had some really, really fun ones, and I'll need everyone's help after the show figuring out what the headline's going to be so that Tim can change it. Until next week, though. We're gonna head into our
such a passive aggressive comment.
Tim makes it better. I always come up with stupid ass headlines, and he's like, nope. Nobody wants to click on my foot hurts, Nick.
You do, yeah, you do.
I'm dumb as shit. Of course, for patrons, we stick around because guess what? We've got our Patreon exclusive post show coming up next, where we'll probably keep talking about actors we want to see in this thing or anything else. But it's gonna be great. If you're not a Patreon member, no big deal. Leave a comment in the comments below. Let us know if you forgot any over the hill actors that could be in this amazing Expendables and try to mount a comeback. Think who is the comedy equivalent to Jean-Claude Van Damme? That's what I want to see in the comments today. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.